Welcome to the Beyond the Cover podcast, a podcast that takes you on a journey beyond the pages of your favorite books. I'm your host, Lauren Cabello. Join me for captivating conversations with the brightest authors who are also celebrities, influencers, entrepreneurs, and successful business owners shaping our worlds today. We'll go beyond the surface, uncovering the motivations and driving forces behind their compelling narratives. Let's uncover the extraordinary together. Well, I'm excited to have Ramon Ray here with us today. He is the Celebrity CEO, and I am so excited. That's the name of your book, The Celebrity CEO. And he's a speaker. He's an author. He is a business coach. You've also sold a couple businesses and has been on stages with some of the top people in the country. And he's even interviewed President Barack Obama.
I have.
Oh my gosh. Whoa. So this is going to be awesome today because when I was reading through your book, I noticed that your book is really on par with this podcast and what we talk about, and even what I do professionally, being a book coach and running a book PR agency. So tell me, what is a celebrity CEO? You coin yourself as that, but what does that mean?
Sure. Taylor Swift, we know that name. Hold on 1 second. I'm talking to somebody right now, Taylor. Sorry. Taylor Swift, we know that name. Usher, we know that name. Beyonce, right. Et cetera. We know these traditional celebrities. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that every business owner, every entrepreneur can be that type of celebrity in their niche. Mm-hmm. So although there's a very few people that are globally known as true celebrities, but I believe that Becky, who has an amazing cookie company in Austin, Texas, she can be well known as the cookie aficionado in that town, or she could be known as the best cookie place for grandmas, if that makes sense.
Right.
Could be a great author who's nobody knows him, except if you're in the painting industry, you read his book about how to paint exterior drywalls. I made
right.
that up.
Yeah.
So that's a
great
celebrity
book, by
means.
The way,
now. How you can be well known in your niche.
Yep.
And I think everybody has the chance to do that.
Right. So when you coined that topic and even wrote the book, was that something you thought of like 15 years ago, or is that kind of a newer concept for you?
Sure. Well, of course, it's been around for some time. Gary Vaynerchuk, probably have to give him homage. There's Seth Zig Ziglar.
Yep.
Older guy.
Which Seth, you've shared stages with both of those guys.
I have, yep, yeah, yes.
Which is awesome.
Seth Godin, the father of permission marketing. You then get to Gary in more modern terms, promote our world of social media and PR that you do so well. So I think my point is the celebrity CEO, it comes from that. That people can ask me, Ramon, how are you so well known all over the place? I'm not known all over, but to them, since we're in a similar circle as you and I are, they say, Ramon, wow, you're all over the place. And that's the term celebrity CEO.
I love that. It's so, so, so catchy. So let's back up a little
bit.
So you've been in the industry a long time. You've been speaking a long time. Like we talked about, you shared stages with Gary Vee and Seth and all the big guys, I guess, that
Can
we
I
hear
add one
about.
More name? Like
yeah, please do.
Deepak Chopra, two guys named.
Deepak. In the house. I love Deepak. Yeah. So, yeah, you've shared names, but let's not forget you are one of those names. You're not.
I'll take that.
Okay.
To some degree. Sure.
Yes. So let's not forget that Ramon is one of those people as well. We put all of you guys on a stage together. When did that all start? Like, it's not like you just showed up there.
Sure.
Like, let's backtrack. Like, how did you get to that place?
Well, I was born in the field of Isn't that how the horse go? All the stories
exactly.
start the way.
Well, that. Let me back in the day.
Yes. 1927, my mama. No. But the short of it is I worked at the United Nations for a large swath of my career. And that, in fact, was right at a beginning college, 1920, whatever age that is. I started college a bit late, as it were. So I was there for years like any other regular professional person. You know, I was there. And the speaking part of it in Celebrity CEO, a friend of mine called me and said, Ramon, I can't speak somewhere. Could you come and speak for me? So I'm jumping a bit, but she had known me, seen me around doing some things. And that was the catalyst for understanding just the world of monetization of speaking. As far as the writing part of it, I recall a similar time frame. I'm an AOL prodigy, CompuServe baby.
Oh, back in, yes.
My grandma back in the day. So that was the speaking part. And then books, Black Enterprise and Inc. Magazine, around a similar time frame, carbon copy contracts, you know, no digital signage. Ramon, can you write for us? And this is your world, right? Media.
Yep.
$1 per word. I'm like, that sucks. Like $1 per word? They're like, could you write 4,000 words? I said, stop. Oh, I'm like, whoa. I was like, oh. Because you think
talking.
$1, I'm thinking a penny. I don't know what my mind thought.
Right.
So blending those two, speaking, it grew from there. You know, I can share more. And then the writing and content monetization, that whole game, I say it in a good way, right? So that was really the celebrity CEO. And then years later, as the internet got popularized, I was one of the first in my lane blogging. Microsoft Front Page. You will know it brings back good warm memories to you.
MySpace.
Yes.
There we say.
There we go. Saving it several times a day, three times a day, FTPing, file transfer protocol, the file's up. So that was my world. So I've been in the content space of published content, probably parallel to Gary, as it were, you know, and others like this. So that's how I started. And once you're there, you keep doing it, You became known. So in my world, not known as the dentistry guy, not known as the wood carving guy, but in the small business world, SMB influencer is a term that many people had been using. That's what Ramon Ray is today.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I love, and I think this is really important. A lot of people see where you are today, right? And they don't realize how long you've been doing this.
You're right.
Right? They don't see the AOL Messenger days. They don't see the MySpace days. They don't see the Microsoft days. They don't see, I've been in this industry for 18 years. My first blog was a Blogspot.
Come on, girl.
In 2005, right? 18 years. I mean, yes, people get rich and famous overnight, right? But to build a brand, it takes a long time.
Exactly.
And to become a celebrity CEO, it takes a long time. Yeah. So I think that's an important thing to realize that when people are going into this, it's going to take some time.
It does, a lot of time. I may add one thing.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey, you know, many people know that name. He says in his nice Southern drawl, 24 years, maybe, or so, you know, yes, we're an overnight 24-year success. So echoing, people see him today,
it's
to your point.
So true.
But no, the dude was in a card table teaching his prophet stuff with two people from his church back in the day. Only he has millions today. But to your point, and thank you for saying that, that you see us, you see people, but I think it's the journey.
It's the journey. I've done so much national television, and people would say, like, oh my gosh, how have you been on the Today Show so many times? And I always would tell people, I got really good at local television. I did local television for 7 years as a nobody. In my hometown, I was a somebody. I would get recognized in my hometown. But to then go on to national television and start doing Rachel Ray all the time and the Today Show all the time, and people just thinking that that just happened. No, it was, I got really good at being okay, being the little person for a very long time.
Right.
And my ego was not like, I need to be this.
Come on.
And then when the opportunities arose and I got really strategic, that's when you start making those big moves to level up, right? And maybe hire the right people to get you there. Like I hired a publicist to get me to that next level. And I had a publicist on my team for many, many years before I sold that company and started my agency. So I think that's an important piece too, is we only see the highs.
That's right.
We don't see the blog spots.
That's right. And like you said, the little people. I think some people are not afraid, or they reject being the little people. But isn't even that where you start? There's very few big people who are not the little people. You talk to senators and all that. I was the aide, the this to that big person for years. I brought them their whatever, their food. It was a terrible example, but you know, things like that. I was
so
that person, their aide for 20 years. Only when they retired, they said, oh, maybe you can be my bigger aide. And now they're a whatever. So
It's so true. Like being comfortable with being the little person first.
Yes.
I think that's really important when you're
like
trying
book.
To be. I'm already working on my fourth one. Don't get me started.
Well, the fifth or sixth.
Comfortable.
Are you comfortable being the little person?
It's so true.
I'm liking it.
You're liking it. Yeah. No, it's so true though, right? Is that you have to be able to be in that place. It's important. So I love the concept of the celebrity CEO. So how did the book come about? Like, I think so many entrepreneurs, and I hear this because I do like sales calls and client calls all the time, right? And they're like, I don't think I want to self-publish. I think I'm just going to go get a book deal. And I'm like,
little people.
I'm like, okay, well, let me tell you the process,
right?
In order to get a traditional book deal with like a big publisher, you need to have a platform. You need to have a business already. You need to have these things in place. So when you did the and wrote the celebrity CEO, did you have all of those things in place already?
Love it. So I was little people first, and I'm still in little people, but I had self-published.
You're big people in my eyes. So
thank you. I'll receive that. But I had published Technology Solutions, I think it is, for growing businesses, self-published, just a small little imprint that I, DIY, I can't remember, I literally myself, send it to Hong Kong or wherever it came from. Another one then was with Wiley, that was a bigger people, but that was about Facebook. Then I had done one on something else. This topic escaped me right now, but then comes this one. Mm-hmm. So my point is that was hybrid. And again, we can explain that if you want. Yep. But that was where I wasn't ashamed to, I wasn't looking for the New York, yep, as it were, the agency. Full disclosure, I paid and got a hybrid publishing company to lay out, help me with the book cover, and make it just look professional.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because a lot of people don't understand the difference between self-published and hybrid. So why don't you explain that a little bit between, sure, the difference?
Based on how I understand it, but you're probably the expert, but how I did it, was I wrote it all Word, Google Doc, doesn't matter. You write it, get your thoughts, and that's a whole process how to get it, but you write it. Now you hand it off to a publisher, you're paying them, and they did two or three things for me. One, they got me an editor, and I must say, she made that book great. Like, Ramon, you know what? Maybe we should move these 4 billion words and move it here, because you're talking about your mama. And I'm like, yeah, what a great idea. Maybe we should move this paragraph that says conclusion. What do you think? We move it to the end of the book. Smart. So she had all that insight. She really made it and massaged it. And Ramon, she talked more about this. So that was the editorial process after I did as much as I could. Then two was the layout. I find that some people, their books just look, what's the French word? Busted.
Yes. I have this phrase, write a book, not a pamphlet.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't
have it look good. Yes.
It really is important. You talk about that in your book, actually, that it really matters what the book looks and feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
Really important.
Yeah, and so those are the two things. That's the hybrid publisher paying somebody to help with the guts of the book and the cover. And then the rest is distribution. Can anybody do that themselves? Of course, just like PR. You can do it themselves. You can work with a good person like Lauren. She makes it a lot easier. So my point is, they got the distribution into bookstores, a few, but Amazon was the one I wanted help with that. And the rest is, as it were, history. Because as I know you know, since I had a network, I had a following, the heavy part is on us authors, really, to market it. Very few are the Tom Clancy's who like, poof, breathe, and it sells 40 billion. You know, most of us, we got to work our little tails off to get it sold. But that was the essence of it. A hybrid publisher wasn't that they paid me and royalties and all that. Nope. Paid somebody. They laid it out, helped me design it with the cover, listed it, got it pushed through ISBN and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And today I have Celebrity CEO, which is selling pretty nicely.
Yeah, that's awesome. So a well-known hybrid that I know is Greenleaf Publishing one. We do a lot of their PR for clients that come through, but that's a great one. And I think that if you're looking at price, you self-publishing, a lot of times if you don't have an editor and you don't have that professional opinion, sometimes it doesn't look as professional, right? You can put it up on Amazon. You don't have those upfront costs. So that's like the cheaper option to go. Hybrid, sometimes you're paying between, I would say, $7,000 and even up to $30,000 to get your book published. But you need to make sure that they're not taking any of the royalties from you. I think that's really important. You don't want to make sure that they're not taking a percentage of your book sales. And then we have the traditional route, which is a big major book publisher. We have the top five. There's a ton of smaller book publishing companies. They're going to take a big percentage of your money.
That's right.
Right.
And because they're fronting you money. So
exactly.
You know, yeah.
Yep. And then you're going to get royalty costs. And you might never see another dime after that advance.
That's exactly right.
Very common.
Yeah. And it's funny you said that because I am seeing a difference. I don't recall ever getting regular checks from other books I wrote. So I didn't, again, now in hindsight, I did it for other reasons we can touch on, you know, the PR reasons I did it for. But I'm realizing, but today, no, I get a check every quarter, every month, whatever it is for my book. So that's a great point, which I didn't realize.
Yeah. So my third book was with Hachette. And I did it for the notoriety sake, right? To say, like, I got a major book deal with one of the top five publishers. I mean, that's a big deal. I worked really hard to do that. And I think when people are looking at getting a major book deal, I actually started getting major PR 2 years before I started getting that book deal because I knew that the marketing that I needed for that book deal would be pretty robust. Right. So I started going after national media 2 years before I knew that that book was coming out.
Smart.
So the strategy was, let's get the national media now of getting the Today Show, getting Good Morning America, getting on all those national shows. I was a regular on the Dr. Oz show, so that when I go to submit my book proposal.
Can you just slow this stuff down about yourself? I mean, can you just, can we slow the whole video, the whole show? I mean, you can't just like, I was on Dr. Oz, no. Can you say it again slow, just like
Dr. Oz, Good Morning America, Today Show, Rachel Ray, all of those. I was a regular on those for probably 9 years on all of those shows. And the strategy was, I know I'm going to submit this book proposal. I need to have a robust PR strategy behind it. So I'm going to become a regular on those shows first.
So you got it without the book based on your own credentials and what you could share?
Correct.
Got
it. So I started the brand first.
Love it.
Like you start the brand first, start getting media. If you want the big book deal, you need a robust PR strategy That's behind right. it. So I became a regular on all of those shows. So when I submitted the book proposal, I had, hey, I'm a regular on the Dr. Oz show. I'm a regular on the Today show.
That's right.
I can get the book on those shows. And I think, you know, mm-hmm. that sealed the deal for yeah. me.
And I know it's your show, but can I interview one
Please.
Man? Thank you. Sorry.
Ramon.
Now, can you tell us what was your expertise on those shows just to complete the...
Yeah. So my first company was actually a frugal living website. Okay. So I taught like meal planning, frugal living, budgeting tips. My third book was called The Recovering Spender. Yep. So all of my expertise on those shows was like frugal living, budgeting. I had a regular segment on the Today Show called From Trash to Cash.
Ooh, come on now.
Yeah. And so I did that segment on Hoda and Jenna for many, many years. So
I love it.
That's why I coined it my own segment.
Yeah. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
well. And I think it was in line with the branding and it was in line with the book. So that was a part of the book too.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, you're
I'm done.
Welcome.
So you can have your show back. I'm done interviewing now. I'm out of the interviewer seat
yes.
now. I'm giving it back.
You're giving it back.
Yes.
But I think, you know, when you're talking about the celebrity CEO methodology yeah. too, is you think about that you really do need to create your own niche for yourself
sure.
and plan that out. So talk about some of the things in your book.
Sure.
Because I loved how you laid it out mm-hmm. in the chapters, but then also you even talk about when you're launching your own
yes.
book,
yep.
what are the things you recommend?
For
so
sure.
start with like the first part of the book and like, what are some of the things that help you become that celebrity
Absolutely.
CEO before you even write the book?
Sure. Yeah. No, I love your recollection and all that. You're just such a good interviewer. Well, duh. I mean, you are. So there's about 9 core pillars, if I'm answering the question right, 9 core pillars that I talk about in Celebrity CEO. I don't have them all 9 in my head. But having a book is one of the 9 pillars. Doing webinars, doing events, publicity and PR, social media strategy, website. Pretty good. That's 6 out of the 9.
That's good.
I think I don't know if I said events or not.
No,
events
that
are
wasn't.
Part of
That's
it.
A good
Great.
Yep.
And maybe podcast is 8 if I didn't say that. There's probably one more I'm missing, but I'm sure it could be a self-promotion.
Yep.
But there's 9 core things that are the aspect of being the celebrity CEO. So that's the aspect. And it doesn't start from scratch. But again, I like to use silly examples. I'm the head of this cup company trying to be the celebrity CEO. It starts small. Should I have just a webinar on, hey, welcome to the webinar about how to sip from a cup the right way? Let's start. That'd be the dumbest webinar in the world. Anyways, so you start with that.
Somebody would love it. Somebody would be like, I need to learn how to drink from because I slurp too much.
That's right. So you have that. So you have your webinar assets on that. Then maybe you move to your podcast. You have your event. Hey, all the Slurpee Cup Awards were gathering in New York City at, you know, your event, bringing together your people all about cups. So you get where I'm getting at.
Yep.
This is how you start, Seth Godin, bringing your tribe, your community together under a banner or under a person, which is mine. It's Ramon, happened to be on entrepreneurship. So you don't have to do all 9 of those pillars. I happen to have done them all, and I'm sure you've done all, or if not more of them. But that's how one starts. Pick something. We're going to go to a WeWork, a small office, and every other month, I'm going to gather 7 people together, and we're just going to have a little discussion group about whatever it may be. That could be your event. Now you're videotaping that. Now you have 2. Now you're doing some social media. 3. Now you're saying, if you didn't get the replays, you see the engine I'm building just at the top of my head.
I love it.
And you build it. And then after a while, instead of 10 people around a small coffee table, you're having 50 people. You're having 100. And you grow from there. Now you have a whole engine. Now you can do your book, call Lauren, and the rest is history.
Yeah. I love that because I've always seen everything strategically, right? Is doing one piece of content like this show. Now we have a podcast, we have a YouTube show, and we have all the short form video content that we possibly need. So from one interview, we have 3 channels,
That's right?
And then from there, we have another project launching, which I can't share quite yet.
What'd you say it was about again? I missed it. Sorry. What'd you say it was about?
The next project.
The one you can't say yet.
The one I can't tell you yet. You tricker. Oh, you almost got me on that. Can I say that yet?
And the other channel is the guest channel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different thing, but you have your own.
Exactly.
And then the guest are amplifying.
Yep.
So.
Exactly. And then we get to teach people, which is important. We want to share our knowledge to help other people.
Absolutely.
All of us are impact-driven people. And I love that piece because we don't need to reinvent the wheel every single time,
right?
Okay, so we have all of those pieces set up. And I think you have a very key piece of this. Some people come and they want to start the book first. But what you're saying is you have to build the tribe first, which is very important. So you built the tribe first, and then you had a couple other books beforehand. Then this sounds almost like the flagship book, right?
Yeah,
that kind of brings everything together. And it's interesting that you went from traditional to hybrid, which actually is what I'm doing with my fourth one, is I'm not doing traditional anymore. Right. I don't want to deal with the headaches of it. I've been there, done that. Yep. Got the t-shirt.
Yeah. And, right? Yeah. And I think the allure for those of us, again, by God's grace, you know, Eve, fourth, fifth, same with you. Yep. I just wanted, I don't care who did it. I just wanted to say it wasn't me. Somebody
exactly.
did it.
Somebody's
but
doing
now,
it.
Yep. Sixth, seventh, eighth, tenth, going back to, again, you'll hear me say Seth's name a lot. I just like the guy. Most of his books, he does it. He has such a big following. My book is coming out, bestseller already done. Yep. He didn't even click the button yet.
Exactly. The pre-sales get them right.
So, yes.
So, tell me about the launch of this one, right? Mm-hmm. It's hybrid, a little bit different. You know, you're retaining your earnings from that and you're trying to launch the book. You've done a couple, so you've learned. I think the first book, we all are like, well, that was hard. I didn't know anything, right? Every time a first-time author comes to me, I'm like, please listen to me.
Yeah.
They usually don't because they're like, well, this is my first book. I'm just going to, you know, try and figure it out. And then they come back to me at book two and they say, I really wish I would have listened to you on book one because I didn't really sell any,
right.
you know, or like, it's like, you don't know what you don't know until you realize you don't know
it, right?
That's right. So on this book, what was the launch strategy?
Sure. I think a few things people can do. I think one is decide what your goal is. I do think it's important.
That's important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because if feel free to touch on that, if you want vanity metric, which is important. I'm not saying in a pejorative. It's a choice that maybe you haven't had the Amazon bestseller, which as we know is a little easier to get today, but still it means something, especially for new authors. That's a game you can do. The pre-order goes up and it can take a while for the pre-order and the image and all that, just a geek note, but then drive to that, that one day, 2 days, whatever the time frame is for Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So I'll put that aside. But a few things that I would say. One is part of the pre-launch is have the book ready to pre-order. That's nice that people can do. That's one. Number two, call all your friends who owe you favors. Hey, listen, can you have me on your shows? And can we please try to release that show or can you talk about it in this time frame? So I'm a firm believer of podcast. Number three, don't forget bloggers, even niche bloggers, blogging on LinkedIn, blogging on Medium, blogging on Substack, whatever it may be.
Substack is big right now.
Please.
I think that's a huge one that a lot of people don't realize. They think blogging is dead. Substack is huge.
It's huge. I follow so many people on it because it's amazing. The podcasters and others now are starting to use Substack. Even if it's minimal monetization, there's some threshold. So blogging is get all the bloggers to talk about it. That's three. Number four, I'm a firm believer. I like something like, hey, get a free copy of the book. Seth Godin, I think, did this with one of his books years ago. But a free copy because you want to build your email list. I like how you started first. So do you, I find I'd like to know your thoughts that email is a big driver. Email, but the other one then is getting your friends to post on social and a link. I like the podcast and all that. But I do think for launches, there's something about not even IG, because IG doesn't have a link. That's just my personal. I like a LinkedIn, a Facebook, an X, a Threads, because they have live links. Sounds minutiae, but you get what I'm getting at? If all your friends are posting a few times a day under a compressed time frame, your book will sell a lot. And then the rest is history, selling bulk order and keeping it selling. My friend Phil Jones talks about, you may know Phil Jones, about to say, so many things you can do with the book, because to somebody else, it's new.
Yeah.
Even if you wrote it 10 years ago, 5 years ago, it's new for them.
Yeah. And what kind of strategy did you have, or did you have a strategy with speaking engagements? Because we talk about the benefit of being a speaker and pre-selling your book.
That's right.
And negotiating your rates with book buys. Yeah. Like, talk about that a little bit, because you speak all the time.
For sure. Two things I would say to that. So one, I think pre-selling the book is good for speaking. But I also find that's the thing I find that keeps on giving. You know, hey, listen, I'm coming to speak A. Can I sell the book myself? You don't owe me anything more. I'll bring 100 copies myself. That works. Or as part of this, again, I get this from somebody else. He's like, I'm coming to speak. Do you want your attendees to have the book? What book? Oh, you didn't know? I wrote a book on the same topic you asked me to speak about. It's kind of a tongue in cheek. But the point is, I think, yes, it can be part of the launch strategy. But I do like speaking as part of that. Continue to give A, selling it at the event and part of the just separate and or building it into it. So I definitely think that part of it, the book can keep selling and having attendees. I have pictures of my book today. I was at a nonprofit. Also say another friend of mine, Lamar Tyler, he has a company called Traffic Sales and Profit. He talks about using the book as a simple lead generation. He gives away thousands of copies of his book. What do they cost us? $2, $3, $5, depending. So that's a strategy for him. Builds the brand. Celebrities see you have all the selfies. Imagine 100 selfies from an event tagged to you. A, people can still give reviews. You know, they show the book. Amazon allows that. And then three, it just builds great lead generation. So that's another way, whether launch strategy, building it in beforehand, or even post-book, using it as a gift that keeps on giving.
Yep. And then there's a phrase, butts and seats, when it comes to speakers.
That's right.
The first 100 people get a copy of his book.
Definitely.
Gets people there on time. And I think that's a great strategy. And I find that I see speakers, they have the best success of their book with traditional publishers getting second rounds of printing.
Yes.
Because they're just constantly selling and selling and selling all year long. And that strategy is super solid. And I think it makes you as a speaker look super credible.
It does, for sure. A book just uplifts you. And going back to Launch, I'll say also, is that something I did for somebody else is a ambassador program. Sounds weird. So I don't know. It's just pop stars do this.
Yeah.
It's a little silly because everybody can market. But, oh, I'm part of so-and-so's ambassador program. Yep. So that's another thing you can do pre-launch. Do you want to join my special exclusive ambassador program and get stickers or just get a handshake?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. We call them book launch groups, a book launch group. So with a lot of our clients, we're doing a book launch strategy where we get like 75 people and we send them a copy of the book with branded boxes.
Yeah. Jay Baer does that well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then do it that way. And, you know, it can be a little bit pricey if you're self-published, but a lot of our authors. And then we do like, you need to post this on PubDate and all of that. And it explodes on the internet, which is really cool. And they have to post a link and all of that kind of stuff.
It goes viral.
Yeah, it goes viral. And everyone's like, oh my gosh. And then pair that with media segments, which I know you're a big proponent of too.
Very much.
So talk about what your launch was like besides having the traditional bulk buys and pre-orders and all of that. Did you have external PR? What did that look like?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've hired for it. And I think hiring just helps you do it faster and smarter, which is your great work you do. And or if you have connections, you can do hand-in-hand hybrid, right? Hey, here's my list. Can you help me do it more? Or I can handle these three and can you do the other 75,000?
Yep. You know, exactly.
So whatever you want. But yes, it works. Because again, I think when you have a great name and you have a visual, you're on that set, whether it's Fox or the FX boys, which has two people and their grandmother, whatever you want to do, millions or not.
Yeah.
It's just something to it. You have the book there. It's a central point for people to talk about. And remember, as host, we want to anchor it on something, right? Yep. We can talk to people, whatever it is, about any topic, but the book is just, it's like a new baby.
It is.
People will always come to your house. But when you say, I'm dead, come to my funeral, I have a wedding, come to my wedding, or a new baby, come, there's some occasion. And preferably, I want people to come to my funeral too, but I prefer them to come to a wedding or baby.
Right. That's more, and it's so true. I think about when you're a business owner, there's a lot of times in your business that are absolutely crucial to market.
That's right.
And I can't think of a more important time in your business than the time when you're launching a book.
That's right.
And if you're only going to do one book, if you market that book right for 6 months, those 6 months will follow you the rest of your career.
Yes.
You can now say for the rest of your career, I was on Good Morning America. I was on Today's Show. I was on Fox News. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that I see a lot. Is, well, I don't watch TV anymore. Okay, great. I'm so happy for you. But you know what? The 5 million people that watch Good Morning America are still watching.
And the credibility of the logo you get.
And the credibility of the logo and chopping it up for short form video.
That's right.
And the 3 million social media followers on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. Those 8 million people might care.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's just like take that little phrase of I don't watch TV anymore and throw it out the window because there's 8 million other people that do. Okay. So I don't know a single person that if I came up to you and said, hey, I'm going to have 8 million people look at your book today, that would say, well, I don't like walking down that street where 8 million people are going to be.
That's right.
Like it just doesn't make sense to me.
Not at all. It does not.
It does not make sense to me. So that's just kind of something that I've noticed, you know. And when you're announced on a stage, what do they usually say about you?
Well, I craft that for them.
Right.
But definitely.
Well,
author,
what do you say? Author?
Celebrity CEO.
Okay.
And unapologetically positive, always.
Do you ever mention your past press?
Oh, sure. That's part of it. Yes, yes. Ramona's interviewed, in my case, all five sharks on Shark Tank, you know, et cetera, et cetera. For sure. And I like how you said for businesses. Because it's one thing I'm pitching you, hey, cover me because we have a new VP of marketing, boring. We have a new product, boring.
Yep.
But I have a new book out. You know what I mean? So to your point, it's a softer way to get more press, more publicity. So.
Exactly. But also using the book as a timely pitch, not so much to pitch the book out, but the topic around the book. So for example, if your book is on breast cancer and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, let's not lead the pitch with the book. Let's lead the pitch with your story. Let's lead the pitch with some breast cancer awareness tips and tricks. Right. And then the book comes in as like the supporting actress.
Absolutely.
Right.
Ooh, come on.
That's how I see it. Right. So I think that's kind of a key thing as well. But I think this notion of anytime you go to an event, and I love this, and I sit and I watch a lot of these entrepreneur events. We're in a lot of the same social circles, even though we've never met before. We know a lot of the same people, which is funny. And I listen to the intros of the speakers, and it always says so-and-so who's been on the Today Show and been on this and been on this. And as much as I love podcasting and I absolutely love this platform, it doesn't mention like they've been on the Lauren Cabello Beyond the Cover podcast. Like that's not going to be in anybody's bio, but the TV segments and they've been featured on Wall Street Journal
Right. Yeah, we all recognize it.
Right.
And both are important though. The Lauren Cabello, that's how you get the reels and the social, and you get it forces you to speak more.
Yep. It's so, one of those nine pillars, right, that you talked about have all of those complete. That's so I think that's super important. And to have those other cool things in your bio, like what you talked about interviewing the five sharks and Barack Obama.
That's right.
So talk to me about that. Like, how does one get to be called upon to interview the president?
Yeah, well, there's an 800 number you just call and the 1-800 interview president.
You're like, well, I would like to interview President Barack Obama.
And actually,
it was the suit. That's what it was. He was like, this guy looks good.
Thank you. But for when President Bush was in office, I think it was him or Clinton, I remember, I got the White House to call me.
Really?
I was
How did you do that?
Well, I wrote letter after letter after letter. I think by then it was faxing was important. So I faxed and somehow I overwhelmed them and said, listen, the bottom line, I'm kind of a sticker. You know, I like to tease a lot. I wasn't meaning between you and I.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, I'm on there. And she called because I had White House in my caller ID. I was working at the UN at the time. I see White House calling. She said, Mr. Ray, we've gotten all your letters, all your faxes. Thank you. This is Executive Office of the President.
Yeah.
And I cornered her to say, are you saying I can never meet the president? She's saying, no, thank you. I'm not saying you can never meet the president, but as you can appreciate, he's a very busy man. And we went in circles. She was trying to be nice, but that was Bush or Clinton, but Barack Obama. So Google at the time, you may remember Google Hangouts was a thing. And they were launching.
When did they disappear?
Yeah, I think.
I feel like, wow.
Somebody just placed them, not Periscope, but that was the time of Periscope and all that. But somebody just placed them and I think faded.
That's
Zoom,
kind of
maybe.
One of those things that just like disappeared and I didn't even realize it's gone.
That's right. It's still there though. So Google Hangouts is a thing, and I even went to the Google Studio and all that before. So whatever time period that was, you know, back in 1902 or something, when that was very popular. So they had a contest where they were saying, you can interview the president.
Oh.
It's my understanding, 300,000 people applied. I believe that's the number I got somewhere. Had to be more than 3,000. And I was in 3 to 4 rounds of interviews where, again, you kind of get the sense you're in PR. I don't know what you're looking for.
Right.
And you may not know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You're looking for something. It's the president, diversity, different people, different questions, a whole different things. And so that's the story. So I applied, went online, submitted this, that, and the other. Producer calls me, interviews me for half an hour, political affiliations, questions, all kind of things. We'll get back to you. Had another call, probably the same questions. Mm-hmm. I probably had a third call, fourth call. Next thing I know, Ramon, you and 4 other Americans can interview President Barack Obama. And it didn't have fancy, you know, where a lot of us at least had home studios. Mm-hmm. I rearranged my living room. They were like, oh, this wall has a small crack. Can we move it here? I had my love seat, you know, blankets high and to get everything right. And next thing you know, hey, Ramon, how are you? I'm fine, Mr. President.
Okay, who was the first person you called when you found out you were interviewing Barack Obama?
Probably everybody I could, you know, my family.
Yeah.
Probably posted it on Facebook somewhere.
Yeah.
I get excited not so much about the action, it's just me, but about the feather in my cap. Sounds weird.
Yeah.
But the TED Talk, the interview president, I didn't do the TED Talk, but those things.
Yeah.
It's exciting, but for me, it's a stepping stone, as you know. Yep. I mean, this is the world. So it's not being on today's show is cool, Rachel Ray, in your case. But for me, I bet you agree, is that's nice, but now I can say it.
Yeah.
And that's to me talking about celebrity CEO, building a personal brand to those listening and watching. That's, for me, the name of the game. It's nice that you did it, but now leverage it for more.
So
I can say I interviewed all 5 sharks at Shark Tank. That's a bio builder.
Yep.
So I interviewed the president.
I absolutely love that. What was it like? Were you nervous? Because to me, like, I'm just going to say this. I've met so many celebrities. I don't get nervous.
Sure.
I'm just like, they're a person. Like, I've sat with, like, Hillary Duff.
Sure.
And, like, I think my kids, the Meghan Trainor, my kids freaked out about... Like, I've been on so much television, my kids don't even care, but yet they care about everybody I meet.
Sure.
They don't care that I have done so much television. They just care about who I meet. So I met Jerry Springer, who is very tall. I was very surprised by that. But they're people.
Sure.
I just don't look at them, I guess. If I was in their shoes, I think I would want to be looked at as just a person.
Sure, absolutely.
Not everybody's like that, but what was it like?
So, no, I wasn't nervous, similar to yourself. I don't know because it's how we're born and built or because of our experience. But I think I rarely get nervous or that excited and like honored. But here's what gets me nervous. If President Trump, Biden, Barack was sitting here, the nervous thing would be the wire that's right here. If I move my leg, as has probably happened once or twice in this interview, am I going to rip the microphone off the table? When I'm drinking water, let's say with soda, is it going to drip my shirt? So it's those things. So when I was doing it, we didn't have these, you know, I wasn't born in the 1800s, but 20 years ago, whatever time that rose, was different than today.
Right.
Internet's way more stable, Wi-Fi. So imagine, I believe it was ISDN could have been. I don't remember what would have been the speed, but things plugged in. So my worry was, again, I didn't have the studio that we have in today, right?
Yeah.
2024s, et cetera. It was my couch, the closet, stacks of books. I had to probably get outdoor industrial lights.
Yeah.
I had made up stuff. Didn't have the right mic and all that headphone. So I was more thinking, I have to stay like this when they say go time. And that was like a 30-minute window, not immediate, 30-minute, just to make sure, okay, the wire's there. Let me touch it.
Yeah.
I feel my ear like, Ramon, could you move over an inch? It was like that. So it was more so not the president, but just, it wasn't just interviewing with our peeps. Something happens. And it was live.
Oh.
So it was live. That's what made it more. Immediately live streamed on YouTube. So that was the pressure.
No pressure. Yeah, no pressure at all. I want to go back to something real quick about what you said earlier in the interview that I think is really important. You said you have to know your goal of launching the book.
Yes.
Right? Because everybody has different goals. We have people that come in and they say, I want to be a New York Times bestseller. Right off the bat. Okay. We have people that are like, I want this to enhance my speaking skills. I want this to help build my business. I want this to help get me on TV. Or there's so many different goals that we can have as authors. And I know that your goal, solidifying the brand, but also help with speaking engagements. Like, what was your initial goal with this book?
Yeah. I think the initial goal was, I don't know if I had a smart goal, particularly because the initial goal was I just wanted to get it done. People kept asking me, Ramon, you seem to be the celebrity CEO. And I said, that sounds like a great name. Let me get it done.
Yep.
And so that was a thought process that makes sense. Now, I have another book that's inside me. I'm asked a lot to talk about human connections in a digital world. As you may know, you know,
looked
me up a bit. It's not my space, though. I'm not the Brené, whoever owns that emotion.
Brené
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Get Centered with Yourself.
Love her,
Breathe
though.
In. I'm not that guy. But I am an edutainer. But and I've been talking about it successfully, several keynotes.
Yeah.
So I have a little thing I'm going to do, human connections in a digital world. The purpose of that is so I can hand it out at events. So to your point, what's the purpose? So Celebrity CEO, that purpose was to increase Ramon's brand recognition as being the master, if in my space, and you know, noting you're here, of personal branding for entrepreneurs.
Right.
That was the purpose of it. So the next one I do, it may be different thought, different reasoning. So that's why I did it.
I think that's so important. And we have some clients that are doing it solely for the purpose to get on TV and to increase their branding. And they don't even sell the book. They just literally give it away. And I'm like, don't you want to make any money?
It's a good tool for you. You're like, thank you. This helps me get you on TV.
Exactly. Done. And it does, because I think authors are easier to book on TV because it shows even the TV producers that they're more credible, right? They're not just Joe Schmo walking down the street. They have written a book and they're branded, right? So thank you for clarifying that, because I think everybody should go into their launch with a goal, whatever that is. And also know the realistic goal of, like, if your goal is New York Times bestseller, talk to somebody about what that's going to take.
That's right. That's right.
Right?
It's achievable, but it's a game.
It's achievable, but it's a game. Like, I do a lot of book ordering for our clients, and there's back-end book sales that I have to do, and it happens a lot with book strategy and speaking. That's a big hand-in-hand thing. Right. People that have the best time hitting the lists are people that have a lot of money. And people that speak a lot.
That's right.
And so you have to be realistic with your goal and what lists you can hit and speak to somebody that knows how to do that.
That's right.
That's super duper important.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the book. You have the speaking. What's next? What's the goal besides writing the other book, maybe to hand out at events?
Sure.
What's next for Ramon?
Oh, for Ramon. Wow,
for Ramon and the brand.
Getting a little personal here for Ramon.
So what's going with the business?
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I would love to.
But
hear
you,
that.
Between you and I mean, can't get out.
Yeah, just nobody else.
Okay, so nobody else is in the room. In fact, even right. Yeah. No, but thank you for asking a few things. So Ramon Ray today and historically has been this entrepreneur who started several blogs, smallbiztechnology.com, which I sold, mm-hmm. smarthustle.com, which I sold, an event business, Small Business Summit, which I sold, and a few other smaller things generating less than $1 million in revenue, which I'm proud of, giving people hope. It's not just billion-dollar valuations that run America. There's right. a few of us who, a couple $100,000 in revenue, we're fine. Mm-hmm. So that's my gift, what I do at blogs. What's next for Ramon are three things. One, I am embracing that Ramon is very unfocused to a degree mm-hmm. and has a lot of ideas. So I'm in the hunt. I'm interviewing. I'm hiring a COO mm. because I have several things I want to do, about two or three things.
I don't know what that's like at all.
No, you don't, of course. You're laser focused doing one thing at all.
I think just to give us all credit, I think we're all like that if we're visionaries. If we're a visionary right. person.
That's the word I've been using. I need an integrator, though.
Yes. Integrators are so yes, important. Yes. What is that book? Attraction?
Attraction and yep. Rocket Fuel, same
Rocket
author.
Fuel, by, yeah, Rocket Fuel is the yes, one I was thinking yeah. about. But I have ideas Gina every Whitman, yes. mm-hmm. day.
Yeah, me too.
And I got to catch them.
That's right.
Put them on paper.
Yes, yes. That's right. Yeah. So, and sometimes me, I don't catch some of them. Yeah. The balloon's so big, it pulls me out.
Yeah, when oh,
I
just, yeah. Ah! I've been pulled up in my own atmosphere yes, so many yeah. times, I don't yes. even know what's happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
But to get a COO, exploring that to help me launch one or two more things. Mm-hmm. Number two, I have this book, Human Connection, Digital World, that I've told you about, thinking of really what I want to do with it. I've mm-hmm. written as much as I can, probably get somebody to help me with it. Number three, launching some sort of an agency in partnership with others. And then the rest, I don't know, but that's pretty much what Ramon's.
So
the main thing is that I believe it's time for me to get a COO because I've been solo the last. I had a partner when I did mm-hmm. Small Business Summit. She was amazing. Mm-hmm. We sold that and did some other things. And I think I miss having a partner.
Yeah. It's very nice to have a team behind you.
Yeah.
I actually just hired my first CFO. Mm-hmm. I have a fractional CFO, yeah. which mm-hmm. was a big deal for me because. Yeah. The numbers of the company should never be trusted to myself as a visionary.
Yes.
I love just having the ideas. And so that's setting right. up the team behind you to have the COO important. And have the integrator and have a team behind you
that's
is
right.
so important.
That's right.
So
that's
important. Right. And to be able to use your giftings
yes.
in what you're good at.
Yes.
I think that is the sign of a good celebrity CEO.
And I'll tell you one more thing, mm-hmm. Because it directly involves you.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to break the news-ish and yeah. make the ask in front of all these people.
Oh, nobody's here, though.
So, I have a show on okay. USA Today.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for that and grateful for that. And I believe it's time for me to even get on a bigger and bigger platform.
Ooh.
So maybe you know some people who does that for a living. Maybe, I don't know, who helps people do that.
Mm.
So I just wanted to put out there.
Wait, so let's talk about
okay.
this, that we haven't talked about this yet, that you have a show on USA Today.
I do, which I'm happy with. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you want to get that on a bigger platform?
Correct. I mean, I'm happy for what they
yeah.
did, in case they're listening. I'm happy for
yeah,
that.
I mean,
but I believe it's a great
deal.
Thing to see how with them or otherwise to just take it,
yeah.
not just whatever people are watching it, but even a bigger platform. I mean, I believe but you or others have to mm-hmm. judge it, or the
yeah.
producer have to judge it. And I know there's a lot of ideas, but I believe Ramon Ray has the years of experience, as you do, but mm-hmm. the years of experience to go to reach a broader reach.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. My goal, I'll just proclaim it to you. If
mm-hmm.
you can help make that happen,
yeah.
you let me know. I want to be the Steve Harvey or the Tyler Perry of entrepreneurship.
I love that.
End of story. That's what I want to do. And I'm there to a degree, but I want to
have it in you.
One or two more levels up.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. And
thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to share it. You're going to hear it here first.
Okay.
The thing I wasn't going to tell anybody, I'm going to say it. Right, Allie, my COO is
yes.
in the corner here
yes.
laughing now.
Yes.
Is I'm starting my own show.
Congratulations!
Yeah, so.
Tell us more.
In Chelsea Studios.
Okay.
I am starting my own TV show.
I love it.
So we talk about strategy, is that we have the podcast, and we have the show, and we have all of this
okay,
amazing
wait,
content.
While you're doing that, I'm going to do a just 30 seconds interview
yeah.
while you're doing an interview.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Here, this is amazing. See, people that never been done before.
Never been done
we're
before.
She's interviewing me,
we're
and I'm going to interview her just 30
this,
seconds. Capture.
Okay.
So break the news. What are you launching? What's it all about now?
Well, I'm launching my own TV show in Chelsea Studios, and it's going to be coming out this summer. And here first on the Beyond the Cover podcast. Just don't
Thank
tell
you.
Anybody.
No, we won't tell anybody.
It's a secret. It's a secret.
Congratulations.
Is amazing. Yeah. Yeah, this is amazing. So it's been a dream of mine ever
nice.
Since I've been on TV for 15 years.
Yes.
And I hope my goal is to help lift other people up.
Love it. Yes.
Right. And
it
to
has,
help
thank you.
Yeah,
I'm here today.
To yeah. lift other people up and help them get their books out mm-hmm. there. And so we're going to have a lot of authors on Love to it. Help them get their books out there, celebrities, mm-hmm. cookbook authors, children's book authors, and it's going to be like fun lifestyle, similar mm-hmm. to what like mm-hmm. Rachel Ray and Dr. Mm-hmm. Oz were.
Done it.
So I'm really excited about it.
Good
I have an
you.
Amazing production team and cats out of the bag.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm excited about that. So I'll have to have you come on that show.
I would love to.
Yeah. It'll be exciting. I'm excited for it. So, well, this has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
We are. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm so excited. So where can people find you and buy your books?
Because sure.
you have multiple
sure.
books.
Yeah.
But I want people to go and buy The Celebrity CEO and all of his other books and follow you. Go and watch his show on USA Today. But where are all of the
sure.
places people can check you out?
Yeah, two main things, RamonRay.com, RamonRay.com, or ZoneOfGenius.com, ZoneOfGenius.com, my mm-hmm. publication about entrepreneurship. So those are the two main places, or just the Google or the Bing or the AI. You'll find me. But thank you for having me. You're an amazing host and a lot of fun.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Beyond the Cover podcast. For behind the scenes clips, footage, and reels of this show, go to laurencabello.com and find all of our social media links where you can find TikToks and Instagram and Facebook reels on all of our socials. Search me on Lauren Cabello on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, and you will be able to find all of the behind the scenes video clips. You can also watch the video of this podcast on youtube.com/Lauren Cabello to watch the video. And thank you to our sponsor, which is Leverage with Media PR, a book PR agency for nonfiction celebrity and entrepreneurial authors to help you launch your book so that you can become a best-selling author. So thank you again for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I would love for you to subscribe and share the show for anybody who wants to know the latest, greatest authors and also maybe know a little bit more about launching your book. Thanks so much and have a great day.